It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
It is time for California Wine Country. Today, Russian River Vineyards. Our friend Gio Balestrieri is here. Wendy Hilbergen. So, there's this thing called Russian River Paulie. Is this in honor of our dear friend Paul Mercurio? Because we call him Paulie. No, no. So, welcome, everyone. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Steve.
And before we get into Russian River Vineyards, let's talk about Russian River Paulie. What is Paulie? Who is Paulie?
Who is Paulie? Paulie is from France.
P-A-U-L-E-E.
It's the Paulie dinner. It's a celebration of, in France, it's a celebration of harvest, so they do it in November. For us, we're doing it before that because we just can't pull off an event of this magnitude during harvest. So we decided to flip the dates a little bit, bring it in September, the first weekend of September. I'm sorry, it's actually August 31st.
Close enough.
So what is it? It's a celebration of harvest. What makes it so special is that of the 200 people that will attend, everyone brings a bottle of something rare, something special, something that they have a story behind it. And what I mean by that is if I met somebody in a wine cave in San Diego and we connected on some, you know, just over something crazy, but I bought this rare wine from him, that's the story that I share when I go to an event like this with the guest, how this bottle came to me. I didn't buy it off the supermarket shelf, or I didn't get it from one of my buddies. It's something really special. So it's a unique and rare, fun, very local event.
Okay, and it's August 31st, 5 p.m. to 8:30 at Sonoma Couture. Interesting. Okay. It's the Russian River Valley Wine Growers hosting what is billed as the Ultimate Winemaker Dinner. And this is an annual event, the Paulie?
It is an annual event. And this is our sixth year that we are putting and hosting this.
And Wendy, you're obviously with the Russian River Valley Wine Growers. Are you director?
I am the executive director for the Russian River Valley Wine Growers.
Which was the last time you were in talking about stuff.
Exactly, yeah. With Carissa Cruz.
All right. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. And you're just standing around drinking wine?
I'm just here for the wine. You,
and your name again?
I'm Sarah.
Sarah. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
We love attractive women standing around drinking wine in the studio. What can I say? Okay, so again, it's Friday, August 31st at Sonoma Couture, the Russian River Valley Wine Growers, and the Russian River Paulie. Is that how they say it in
Paulie.
France?
Paulie.
Paulie. Paulie, that makes
sense.
Yeah,
a little
sense.
More emphasis on it.
There you go.
Are you going to take a vote on who brings the best wine?
No. Though, I have to say, you know, after the Paulie, you will hear from the guest and you will hear from the winemakers, and there will be stories from those tables about the wines that are presented at the table. And yes, I think there's a lot of talk around, you know, what somebody brought that was so different and so special that they would have never, ever experienced it.
I love this concept.
Yeah, it's great.
Really neat.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Gio, talk about Russian River Vineyards. Give us some history, first vintage, you know.
Yes, yeah, so we opened the place in October 1st of 2008. We bought it out of foreclosure from the Topolos family.
That's right.
And it was me and three other partners. And from there, we rehabbed what we saw as a diamond in the rough was really, really rough. So we spent the next 3 to 4 years rehabbing it and bringing it to what it is today, and we focus on wine with food and an experience that you really can't get anywhere else in wine country.
And are you the winemaker? I forget.
Well, yes.
Yes. Okay.
I make all the wine.
That makes sense. Dan, thoughts on Gio and Russian River Vineyards?
Well, if you go all the way back to the 70s, even earlier to the late 60s, that property was really historic. It's out there on 116. And there's some vineyards that go to the west there that are really ancient vineyards. I don't know whether you still have some of those old vines there. There's some old Zinfandel out there. And Julianne and I still have one bottle left of 1971 Russian River Vineyards Zinfandel in our cellar. So if you wanted to get together, Gio, we'll drink that bottle.
Interesting to share. That's the type of wine that we like to see at the Paulet dinner.
That's exactly the type of wine. Exactly the kind of wine we love in the cellar, because they're always pretty good wines and they have great stories to tell. Those wines were essentially made for the tasting room only. And then at the very end, when Russian River Vineyards' earliest partners were trying to sell out, they sold a bunch of that stuff to Trader Joe's. That's where I bought it.
Wow.
That was 1973.
Jeez. And hi, Mrs. Berger. Good to see you. All right. So what was your first vintage after you guys took over?
2008.
It was 2008.
Yeah, 2008 okay. was our first Pinot Noir. And every year after that. You know, we've been growing and growing and growing. What I brought today is a stainless steel Chardonnay from the Peterson Vineyard in Southwest
That's
Sebastopol.
Gorgeous wine.
It's all stainless steel, super bright fruit, tropical notes on the nose.
Yeah, it's got some real interesting sort of a flinty kind of a character to it, because you don't lose anything when you don't put it in oak. You don't lose some of that spice component.
No, it was neat. This was one wine that, as it went through fermentation, I was scared because it was so like Sauv Blanc and not like Chardonnay. And as it grew up and aged a little bit in the bottle, that Chardonnay weight on the palate came out, but really the nose is still really, really perfumey and colorful and tropical.
It really is tropical.
Gorgeous.
Isn't it?
Yeah, tropical and on the palate, too. The spice is just so fascinating.
Are you getting more of the spice in the finish? Or
I'm getting a little of that. It's almost a fresh fennel component in the aftertaste. It's really interesting. I just love this stuff. What's the retail on it?
This is $42 a bottle.
Well, it's very, very interesting wine, and it's really a style you just don't see very much anymore.
No, I've kind of looked at our customer base, and what they like is kind of the A, B, and C of Chardonnay, meaning your stainless steel, kind of your 50-50, which is kind of half stainless, half oak, and then the full oak. So I pretty much make all three.
Very pretty wine.
What year is this again?
2017.
17. Wow.
And I wouldn't lay this away.
No, this is a drinker.
Drink it right now, dude.
That's it.
Yeah, very nice. Russian River Vineyards. Is it RussianRiverVineyards.com?
RussianRiverVineyards.com, yep.
Okay. And they're going to be part of the big Russian River Polay coming up August 31st. Ah, my son's 29th birthday. He'll be here. Maybe we'll show up. 5 p.m. to 8:30 on Friday, August 31st.
You should show up, Steve.
Yes. I want to.
And get your tickets quick because the event's selling out. Yeah. I believe we have how many tickets left?
20 or less.
Wow. Maybe.
Yeah.
20 tickets left of around 200.
Luckily, I don't need tickets. So.
No, you actually know somebody.
He looks like Shelley Berman. He just crashes the car.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you. I am Larry David's father, Shelley Berman, with my big glasses. Okay, so what else we got, Gio?
Oh, he's got the best rosé.
Okay.
Yeah,
I cannot disagree with that.
All right. Yeah, it's time for the rosé.
Rosé is delicious. A little bit more on the Paulet since we're talking about it. The Russian River Valley Wine Growers Association is putting it on. It has for the last 6 years, I believe. That's
correct.
The number. And, Wendy, if you want to talk about the chefs that are going to be there and some of the menu items that you have in front of you.
Sure.
And then I can touch base on some of the wineries that are going to be there. And
absolutely.
Tell everyone a little bit more.
So when this event was created, one of the things that we thought would make it special and a little bit different than what everybody else does is we pulled in local, really bright, you know, very, very talented chefs into the mix here. And so this year will not disappoint. We have a fantastic group of chefs. We have Chef Steve Litke from the Farmhouse Inn and Restaurant. We have Chef Ben Davis from Russian River Vineyards. We have Chef Thomas Schmidt from John Ash & Company.
Wow.
And we have Will Seppi from Cousteau Bakery and his pastry chef coming. It's going to be a great lineup. We are having we're having pork shoulder. We're having boneless short ribs. We've got great seasonal vegetables. I mean, they're pulling things out of the garden for this. Talked to Steve over at Farmhouse. He literally grows specifically for this event and is out there checking things out to make sure that they're exactly the way he wants them for his salad.
Farmhouse.
Oh, fantastic.
Unbelievable.
So, I mean, not only do we have fantastic wine at this event, we have just an amazing menu that is planned. So we also have Chef Kevin Markey from Sonoma Couture, who's doing the appetizers. So we'll have some great appetizers that will be passed to start things off. It's going to be a wonderful night.
And this is what they do in France.
This is what they do in France. It's a huge, huge celebration.
Is this the only Palais around here?
Around this area. There is one in San Francisco. Okay. But other than that, there is, I can't think of another that's even anywhere close.
Yeah, I don't know of anywhere it's an AVA-sponsored event that gets all of its members together and then opens it up to the public so the public can get that one-on-one interaction with and we're not talking about hospitality staff. We're talking about the winemakers and the owners of these wineries and the farmers that farm these grapes that attend. You get that one-on-one interaction with the people that make the product and grow the grapes.
Over 30 Russian River Valley wineries, world-class Pinot, Chard, Syrah, Zinfandel, Sauvignon Blanc. And it's time to coincide with Wine Country Weekend. And again, it's Friday, August 31st, 5 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at Sonoma Couture. Have you been to one of these Palais?
No, I have not. And part of it is the fact that I'm swamped at this time of year because of the harvest. Every year we get the harvest at the same time, and I'm running around getting stories on harvest. So I generally don't have the time to do it.
Well, this sounds like a great event. Jeez. Okay, let's talk about this rosé.
Rosé, so it's called the 50-50. And what that literally means is 50% from my Horse Ridge vineyard, which I brought the Pinot Noir that we'll try next. And then it's 50% from my Appian Way vineyard. So it's a blend of two Russian River Pinot Noir vineyards put together. It's aged all in stainless steel for about 21 days. From there, I chill it down. It goes to tank, and it chills in tank to let it settle out for about a month and a half. And I bottle it early December. And I start selling it when spring hits. Mm. It's just a beautiful. Every year it comes out with this rich kind of vanilla, strawberry, cream.
I would say strawberries and watermelons.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, the watermelon component.
I got some watermelon there.
Yeah, really interesting flavors. You've left a little teeny bit of sugar in here, so it broadens the palate, gives it a huge amount of intensity. As you drink it, you say, wait a minute, it's dry. No, it's sweet. No, it's dry. You go back and forth. It's got everything.
And that key is balance, and that's acidity that I feel like you're talking about. Because if I get the acidity right, it can slow the sugar across your palate just how I want it.
We've talked about this for years, about the resurrection, if you will, of rosé. People are digging the hell out of it, and everyone's doing one now, and they're all pretty damn amazing. This is great. 2017 Rosé of Pinot from Russian River Vineyards. Thoughts?
The real secret to good rosé, well, there are about five, but number one is don't have too much sugar. Number two, don't have too much color. Dark rosés are scary. They can be good, but, boy, they just nerve-wreck because you've got tannins in there. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing that you really definitely want to do is not chill it down too low. If you chill it way, way down, all you're going to taste is the temperature. Mm-hmm. So you have to make sure that you're – so the flavors in this wine really come from high-quality grapes. I've tasted really good rosés before. You ask how much of those grapes – they're paying red wine prices to make good rosé. You cannot make a great rosé from cheap grapes.
You can't make great wine from cheap grapes either.
Amen to that. What's the alcohol on this?
14,
I don't know. I couldn't find it.
14.4.
That's in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, I like to keep them around 13, but when I'm going through the vineyards getting ready to pick the grapes, I pick on flavor and ripeness as opposed to what the bricks are. And the sugar level is. It's more about flavor. So if it gets a little riper, meaning a little more sugar in it, I work with that because I can't add flavor to the wine. So I like the grapes to get ripe.
Dan, lay it down, Burger. generally, I forget, with rosé, what is your thought as far as laying it down?
my original belief was you just drink them up. But over the last several years, I've noted that if you lose a bottle, now I wouldn't do this by design or on purpose, but if you lose a bottle of a really good rosé, you wait two or three years later, it's fascinating how interesting they can become, but they change. They're not like the rosés at the beginning. They're just interesting to drink as older wines.
Really?
Very interesting.
So they change.
They change, but in a way that's usually pretty beneficial. We had a 10-year-old bottle of Navarro rosé the other day, and it was wonderful. Just still one.
Really?
Who would have drunk a 10-year-old? Well, I lost one, so.
Wow. Yeah, I would not think that a rosé like this, you know, would
this
be
one,
great in 10 years.
This one,
let's drink it now.
Yeah, nobody's going to do it by plan. They're not going to put this in the cellar and age it. But if you lose a bottle, don't fret. It's going to be pretty good.
That's very cool. Before we take our break, Wendy Hilberman, from director of the Russian River Valley Wine Growers, their big event is at Sonoma Cutrer, Friday, August 31st, 5 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Talk more and give us any updates about the Russian River Vineyards Association, what you guys do, and besides this, what is coming up?
Well, actually, so we're a marketing trade organization. We have just under 300 members, wineries and growers, and we are working. We actually have three different events that we put on per year, and the Pale is, you know, I think Gio would say it's our signature event. It's an event that is different than anything else that people are doing. And we really feel like it brings people in from all over. And so we're really showcasing the Russian River Valley as well as Sonoma County in general.
Mm-hmm.
And so events are one thing that we do. And I think that we have such a great slate of events that we put on per year. But we also, you know, throughout the year, we're doing things for our members. You know, as a membership-based organization, we work really hard to make sure that we're meeting our members' needs. Anything from vineyard walks to member mixers to educational seminars. We work really hard to make sure that we are staying up on what they actually need and what they're looking for through their organization. And Gio is our board president. He didn't mention that.
And no, so, he didn't. No, I did not. Second year in running.
Yeah. So I think that we have, you know, already it's not even a full year yet. We've had like a really busy year. And so he's doing a great job.
Yeah, thanks, Winnie. I think the biggest thing for the wine growers is that we're getting member engagement back, and we're getting our biggest goal is to get people into the Russian River Valley. We're a marketing organization, so getting our name out here. Sarah Sorgel of Tonic Marketing, we hired her as our marketing and PR gal. So that's
hi, Sarah.
That's how she fits into our picture. She's
there's
doing
a
wonderful.
Chair back there. If you want to sit down, it's up to you.
She's doing an awesome job for us, and it is. It's drawing more people to the valley, and we're figuring out that that with this outreach, our events are selling out a lot faster, and everything's taste rooms are busier.
Stay tuned. After the break, I want to have Dan talk more about Russian River wines and the history and all his thoughts, because it's such a iconic appellation for this area, right?
Absolutely. Maybe the most important appellation in Sonoma County.
Wow. All right. We'll take our break, and when we come back, we'll continue with California Wine Country. We're talking about the Russian River Pale and Russian River Vineyards and Russian River in general. Remember, if you miss any of these episodes, they're all on podcasts where all great podcasts are offered. You can also go to calwinecountry.com. Make sure that you
subscribe.
Thank you. Every week I can't remember the word subscribe.
I'm your cue.
Yes, thank you, Daniel. I certainly appreciate that. So does our guy in L.A. Yeah. who keeps texting me. Tell him to subscribe. Okay, we're in the middle of California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Barry Herbst is supposed to be here after he's been gone for about a month. I don't know what he's been doing, but hopefully he'll show up so we can find out what's going on at Bottle Barn. They have some new news about some technical thing. Like I said, I have
something about shipping wine.
Yeah. He'll tell us all about it. Our guests today are Wendy Hilberman, director of the Russian River Valley Wine Growers. They are hosting what is billed as the ultimate winemaker dinner. It's called the annual Paulet, a French term. It's 5 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Friday, August 31st at Sonoma Couture Winery in Windsor. It's on
Schlusher
Road. It's a weird name.
Well done.
Schlusher.
Gio Balestrieri from Russian River Vineyards with us, and he's the chair of the board of the Russian River Valley Wine Growers.
How you doing?
And, of course, Wendy. And Sarah's here.
Still here.
And Dan's wife, Julianne
that's
is
correct.
Here.
Yes.
Okay, we're switching to a Pinot here?
We're going to Pinot Noir.
Okay, tell the story on this one.
So the one on this one, this is the second vintage after the 2014, so we're drinking a 2016 Horse Ridge Vineyard. The 14 won the best red wine at the Harvest Fair in 2016. So this is the same vineyard, just 2 years older. It's also part of this wine is what was in the rosé that we tried earlier.
Okay, all right.
It's that same vineyard.
The rosé of Pinot.
The rosé of Pinot Noir. Yeah, so Horse Ridge, it's off Cherry Ridge Road. My wine style is I try to hit soft, elegant, and more feminine in style, and I think this wine really, really speaks to that. It's velvety on the palate. You've got nice spice on the nose. If you ask me what and how I like to make wine, this wine tells exactly that.
This is almost an exact parallel of Côte de Beaune. It's not
Côte de Beaune,
the lighter and more elegant area of Burgundy. It has the wild spice note that you get in some of those districts or sub districts. So this would be in effect a cru wine, in effect a top vineyard. Source, and I think that the most interesting thing here is that the potential for this wine is virtually unlimited. There's a wonderful acidity. It's got good balance and good structure. It's a beautiful wine. And probably ain't going to be cheap.
This one retails for $65. It might jump up to $75 as production or inventory dwindles down, but it will be available. We have not released it yet. Probably 6 to 8 months we'll release it. And it's one of those wines you can cellar for a long time. I'm talking 5 to 10 years, easy.
This is a Burgundy style of wine, and it's interesting how the three sub-regions, the three gross sub-regions, the larger pieces of Russian River Valley have impacted the style of wines that we're seeing. The lower third is essentially the coldest area. The middle reach has got some incredible sub regions within it are really interesting little pockets. And then the northernmost area is a little bit warmer and gives you an opportunity to make a bolder wine. So you're seeing a lot of different styles of Pinot Noir coming out of Russian River now, and they're all valid. They're just a matter of how much do you want this wine to be darker and how much wine do you want this wine to be lighter. This is one of the more lighter styles, but it's so beautifully elegant, and it's going to age beautifully. That's a really good decision on your part not to release it right away.
Well, how many centuries are you going to lay this down? Because, you know, you and I are going to live forever.
That's correct.
Because we drink wine.
I like to say that aging wine is a fool's game, because what you do is you pay for the wine, and then your children drink it. So, you know, I think in this...
You have to teach them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They don't want to be taught.
That's true. They're not interested. Yeah. I think the most important thing about this wine is that this is one of the few examples of the lighter style that has such potential. The lighter style wines typically don't age, but in this case, the acid is fabulous. And so you really are banking on the acid carrying this wine for, I would say, a minimum of 7 to 9 years before you ever even begin to drink it.
Wow.
And then...
Good thing we're living forever, buddy.
That's true. I'm with you.
This really is... what's the year again? I forgot.
2016.
And it's not released.
I brought it just because it's a special wine to me. I like the wine. I think it's tasting really good now. It'll taste great as it lays down for another year.
We've got that black cherry, but it's not simple. It's got a lot of complexity, a little forest floor, maybe a trace of sandalwood in the background. This is going to be a better wine in a year when you release it. And when it gets released, nobody's going to blink about the price. This is really hot stuff.
If I can ask a question, Dan, you touched on it a little bit earlier. As an marketing organization of the Russian River Valley Wine Growers, we're focusing on this neighborhoods initiative, which I'm sure you're aware of. And we've got our five neighborhoods and hopefully soon to be six with the expansion to the Eastern Hills, which is east of 101 in the Windsor area. But Dan, can you talk a little bit about the diversity of Russian River Valley and what our marketing message is for the wine growers, showing how diverse the AVA is with these five different neighborhoods and what makes each one unique and different and how that reflects in the winemaking of the wines?
I think it shows best when you pick individual varieties that are not necessarily identified with that region. Pick Sauvignon Blanc. When you taste a Sauvignon Blanc out of Russian River, it's different. Then pick Sangiovese. When you taste a Sangiovese out of Russian River, it's different. What's nice about that is that it justifies the distinctiveness of the region. Therefore, it justifies an extra couple of bucks to pay by the wine. Because the problem that we always have in these wines is that when homogeneousness comes into the business, wines become too similar. And that's one of the reasons why Russian River is such a special area, because you've got naturally high acidity. You don't have to play with the wine once it comes into the winery.
Perfect. That's like the diversity.
There you go.
It's hugely diverse.
Yeah.
Sarah, did you get some of the Pinot?
Oh, not yet. Let's try it.
Yeah.
We have that. We can do that.
Okay. And Barry Herbst, wine buyer from Bottle Barn, one of our co-hosts on California Wine Country, is back. Where you been, man? You've been gone a long time.
Running around a little bit. I had to go celebrate my parents' 60th anniversary in Hawaii.
Oh, rough. You had to.
Nice. Rough, huh?
Yeah, that's a tough gig, dude.
And then I had to get my daughter off to college down in Santa Barbara.
So nice, yeah.
Start another year down there. So
very cool.
It's been busy.
Yes, we need a glass for Barry if we can.
I just finished tasting 35 wines, so I'm dying.
For what?
So you're primed.
For work.
Oh, right, of course. It wasn't a competition or anything.
No. It wasn't like one of those food eating contests.
Joey Chestnut.
Joey Chestnut. Exactly. The Joey Chestnut of wine. Yes, he drank 80 glasses of wine, and look at him, he's still sober.
Standing.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Mike. Talked about the Pinot, right? Yes.
We did the Pinot, yeah.
I wanted to ask you about Russian River Valley and the wines. A general take from Dan Berger.
In general, this is a region that has better natural acidity because of the marine influences. But there are also interesting flavors that come from soil types, different soil types. If you go back about maybe only 20 years, you're going to find Gewürztraminer. You'll find Riesling, you'll find Grenache, all these different varieties. Everything grows there. It's almost like the magical region because whatever you put in the soil does pretty well. You don't have to worry about – and the Pinot, of course, it turned out by a claim that Pinot was the number one variety in the region. But that was because it commercially made a lot of money for people. Think about how great those Rieslings used to be. How great those Gewürztraminers used to be. You remember back those days here?
Russian River still has a Gewürz. Yeah. It's one of the wines I was able to cajole out of them.
We're not really in wholesale, but we do a great Gewürz.
Yeah, it was really good.
And Barry, talk about Bottle Barn and Russian River.
Well, definitely the core of our Pinot Noir section for sure. And we have a lot of really unknown small guys that come out of the woodwork year after year out of that region that we're so fortunate. You know, they don't even have marketing departments or wine clubs or anything. It's just the guy making the wine, and he needs an outlet, and we're, you know, his best option close by. So we're loaded with small guys like that and large, you know, big guys like Rodney Strong that make a fair amount of wine. They're fantastic. So the quality is up and down the board, whether it's 300 cases or 5,000, it's solid year in and year out. So, big part of the store for sure.
Wendy Hilberman is here, director of the Russian River Valley Wine Growers. They're having their big event, an annual thing, 5 p.m. to 8:30 on Friday, August 31st at Firth. It's on Schlosser Road.
It's going to be a wine drinking contest.
It's on Shawshank Road, yeah. I am becoming Joey Chestnut here. It's Sonoma Cutrer Winery on Shawshank Road.
Correct.
In Windsor, 5 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. And this is, again, reiterate for folks just joining us, our 5 o'clockers coming in late. Explain the whole event again, because it's really awesome.
You've done such a great job with it, Gio.
Okay, Gio's going to explain.
I'll tell you about the event again. I'll give a quick story on what makes the event so special. So it's a celebration of harvest. The Palais in France is where this idea and concept started at. So we've recreated that in the Russian River Valley, put on by the Russian River Valley wine growers, where we're getting about over 30 winery owners and winemakers together and open basically our bottles and Sonoma Cutrer to the public. So the public can come to the event and taste wines made by the 35 different wineries and then also get to share in a special bottle. This is what makes Palais so unique. A special bottle that one of the vintners, winery owners, the guests have brought, and that it's that story on how they got the wine, not necessarily from a supermarket or a wine shop. It's
right.
They met somebody in a wine cave and got the bottle that way. Quick story on that. There's a 1973, a gentleman I was sitting by pulled a bag or a bottle of wine out of his bag when I was sat down for dinner, and I was like, wow. And I said, you know who owns this winery now and makes all the wine? He goes, yeah, it's Rod. I said, have you met Rod before? And he goes, no. I said, well, he's sitting right over there. And so I asked the guy if I could bring the bottle of wine that Joseph Swan made over to Rod and see if Rod could identify it. And so I pour it for Rod, and he goes, wow, this wine is... It's aged, you know, the nose is off, but it's old. And I said, yeah, it is. So that he tasted it and he goes, wow, he couldn't believe it. The acid was amazing. The fruit was still there and it was just a beautiful, beautiful wine. And I showed him the bottle and the label and he didn't almost cry, but he got emotional that Joe made the wine and he was drinking that. It was just so consistent with how Rod's style is now.
And you showed me a photo on your phone of something from 73. That was the wine.
That's the wine I'm telling the story about.
Holy crap. And the label was all...
deteriorated.
Yeah.
Wine spilt on it.
Yeah.
Those are great wines. Some of the original cult wines. And, you know, everybody was looking for those wines back in the day and really sought after. And they stood the test of time.
I just
really
love
it.
This whole concept blows me away. Dan, I mean, come on. You need to show up and bring some of your stuff from your cellar.
We'll do it. What do you want? Well, I'll just bring something next week. What do you want?
No, I mean at the event.
At the event.
Oh, yeah. Julianne and I had like hundreds and hundreds of bottles. What are we going to do? Bring the whole thing?
No, you just bring one.
All right.
That's all you need to do.
Or bring the whole cellar to this show.
Yeah.
We'll go through them.
In his house next year.
Store it here.
We'll be off the air in about 1 hour.
Well, can I add something?
Please do.
During the event, what is really, really special that people tell me after the event, and they tell me during too, is that they get up, they've got their bottle of wine, and guests that have never met the other, 195 guests get up with their bottle and they share it with perfect strangers who become their friends for life. And it's such a great thing because everybody is sharing wine with each other and saying, have you tried this? Oh, you have to go over there. You have to do this. You have to go meet that winemaker. That's where that bottle is from. Talk to him about his story or her story. And it's such an amazing event for, like, building friendships. And so it's not one of those events. Everybody, talks about the events that's such a pure event of, wine connoisseurs. It has that element. But the other element that I hear so much is the story of they share a meal. They share some wine, some amazing wine, and they become friends. And people come back to this event every year because of that.
Yeah. And they met them 2 years ago at the event, and now they're all hanging out together at this year's event.
The best concept is people bringing wine from their cellar that have a story, because this is a beverage of conversation, and it's a beverage of discussion.
Correct.
If people get into it the way they should be talking, they should be enjoying their lives and making friends. Wine is not to be consumed on its own by itself. There's an old story about an ex-president. I'm sorry. An ex-president who I will not name. Notorious story about how he served Chateau Margaux to himself at state dinners, but poured cheap Bordeaux for everyone else.
Must be Nixon.
It was.
Yes, sir.
I knew it. We got a few minutes left on California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn, and they've got a new thing that you've been working on for a while. It's got to be getting close now, Barry.
Yeah, we're trying to work all the bugs out of it. It's going to be an online representation of Bottle Barn, sort of a cold-out portion of our store, along with some flash sales. So you'll be able to buy wine in your pajamas. You don't have to come down to the store and have it shipped directly. There'll be free shipping in California.
I only buy wine in my pajamas. Ask the people at my wine shop.
You're our exact demographic we're going
yes,
for.
Yes, thank you.
So anyway, it takes a while to get but these things always take a little longer than they are supposed to. But we should be up and running when the shipping season gets good in October, November, around there.
Okay, so explain how it works. I mean, people are going to be more accessible to shipping wine and buying wine?
Yeah, we're going to have about 40 wines in kind of a cold-out store, things that we've chosen, staff favorites, that you'll be able to buy individually or in sampler packs. And if you buy a sampler pack of six or six solid of some of these wines, it'll be free shipping anywhere in California. And they'll all be competitive prices, the prices we have in the store.
Nice.
And then we'll have periodic flash. People now, 4 to 5 times a year, we do an insider of a really great deal. And we usually sell about 300 cases in 2 days. We'll have sort of mini versions of that coming out on the website where we just send out an email blast. We have about 6,000 people on our list. And, you know, we may have 30 cases of a really great wine at, you know, half price and usually sells out in hours. So we'll have a lot of those going, you know, maybe once, twice a week as well. So, and all that will be free shipping if you buy six or more bottles.
Very cool. Coming up soon at Bottle Barn, everyone's favorite. I got to thank our main guy who helps with my company, Vicario Productions, down in Los Angeles. Christopher DiMatteo, and he's always listening to California Wine Country, and he sent me a whole Wikipedia thing about Paulet, and it's all in French. Thanks, Chris. Nice. The only French I know is Je m'appelle Steve. I know that's it. Anyway, very cool. The event is Friday, August 31st, 5 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at Sonoma-Cutrere Winery. It's the Russian River Valley Wine Growers hosting the annual Paulet, and it's on Schlosser Road. and there's not well. A lot of tickets left, right,
no,
Wendy?
No, we don't have a lot of tickets. It's definitely going to sell out.
So they go to, well, I'm looking at Eventbrite.com.
So you go to RussianRiverValley.org.
Right, okay.
And you can purchase your tickets through the site there.
All right, beautiful.
Yeah.
How much time, Mike? One. Ooh, he just gave me the finger.
The finger.
But it was the index, not the middle.
It's a good thing today.
Thanks, as always. Great to see Gio Balestreri from Russian River Vineyards, Wendy Hilberman from the Russian River Wine Growers, Dan's wife, Julianne. Good to see you.
Yes, good
and
to
Sarah.
See you.
Sarah's here. All right. Thanks, guys, so much. Gio, great. And thanks for that 2013 Chardonnay.
I'm taking
home tonight.
And then one more thing for Russian River Vineyards itself. We are celebrating locals. And on Sundays, we're doing pizza night for all locals in Sonoma County. So we're going to kick it off. We open up at noon. We're going to probably do pizzas from 2 to 5.
So tell everyone how to get to Russian
River. Russian River Vineyards, we're off Highway 116, just north of Sebastopol and south of Forestville, next to Mom's Apple Pie.
Great place. Oh, yeah. Well, we all love Mom's Apple Pie.
The pizza and pie.
Yeah, and we love Russian River Vineyards. Thanks to, of course, Dan Berger. If you want to talk to him about wine, get over to the restaurant tonight, Seatai Bistro, where he and Julianne go every Wednesday after this show.
And he's buying.
He's got a lot of wine.
Let's say he's buying. No, I'm not buying. But you can talk to him about wine. Thanks to Barry Herbst, wine buyer at Bottle Barn. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. We'll
Welcome back. Yes, we'll see you next
back
week.
In the saddle.
Everybody, have a great Wednesday night.